Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, hi, good evening. You're on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Our guest tonight is going to be Tony Hilling. He's going to join us a little later in the broadcast. This evening, we are simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday Night Party. We have a full schedule for you. We always like to start off with a prayer. This week's prayer is sent in by Patty J. Smith. So if you don't mind, everybody, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Father, take me to the place where I am saved from my pride and arrogance, and Christ's humility is center stage, where I am lifting up clean hands and a pure heart to you. Take me to the place where I'm no longer looking at the mountains I face, but looking down upon them, where I can see clearly and my decisions are flooded with your light, truth, and justice. Father, I bend my knee and I receive your truth. I open my ears to receive your counsel. I open my heart to receive your eternal wisdom. Amen. Thank you, Patty, for sending that in. It's beautiful. We have a full schedule tonight. It's a pretty busy one, so let's try to get to it here. Let's see. Let's go to the Facebook page. If you're on Facebook or if you're on Twitter, please join in live on the conversation. We'd love to have you. Tony's going to join us about a half past the hour. Until then, just a little preview. Coming up in a little bit, there's going to be a post for Patty J. Smith and her devotional, Redeemed. There's a blog post by Sue Badeau. She, the author of Building Bridges of Hope, a very popular paperback children's book. We'll be talking about that in a little bit. Some author events coming up. Joy Ross Davis will be going to Ireland for a book signing. The information will be in the blog post that's shared. That's coming up in a little while. Peggy Bland Pfeiffer has released Volume 5 in her Sweetwater River series. There's going to be a cover comparison for Dolores Polk's. She has a short story collection called... It is called, I don't have the title written down. We'll get back to that. I apologize, 100%. Tony's going to join in around that time. Ann Baxter Campbell has a really nice review of Flora Vergata's last novel. And we'll be talking a little bit about Flora later because she has good news about her new novel coming out. There's going to be a reading sample and also a illustration sample of Trina Grundle's children's book. Joseph Max Lewis was at an author event last week. It was a very successful event for him. That was on Saturday. There will be a link and a little bit on that. Murray Pure has Silver City Volume 4. You can get the you can read the first chapter of that. And Larry Peterson has a blog post talking about The Priest and the Peaches, which is really cool. And then we're going to be signing off for the evening. Yeah, as far as Flora's new book is going to be called Love and Obsessions, that is not the book that Ann Baxter Campbell did the review on. I'm trying to find Dolores's book. Okay. The Polk Perspective. So it was that simple. The Polk Perspective. There's two covers for everybody to look at and to vote on. And I hope everybody enjoys it. Okay. Let's talk about Patty J. Smith's Redeemed. Patty was nice enough to share the prayer for the evening. It looks like Flora Regatta, Joseph Max Lewis in the house, as well as Patty. Maybe Patty will help us with the score of the football game. From my understanding, there's going to be colorful uniforms tonight. Just on a side note before we get rolling, we've had Joseph Max Lewis here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network talking about the Diaries of Pontius Pilate and how that's going to be made into a movie. Personally, I just watched God's Not Dead 2. I saw the original, the first one, God's Not Dead. Those folks that produced and wrote that, we'll be making Joseph Max Lewis's The Diaries of Pontius Pilate into a movie. And after seeing both of them, I feel very confident they're going to do a very nice job on The Diaries of Pontius Pilate. I thought the God's Not Dead 2 was very well cast, and it was interesting to see who they had in it. If you get a chance to check it out, please do so. Well, let's talk a little bit about Patty J. Smith's Redeemed. This is, as with just about all of Patty's devotionals, this is a devotional. It has a theme. And Redeemed is Rosary Meditations for Post-Abortive Women. The synopsis says, regardless of the circumstances surrounding an unpleasant pregnancy, there's something women may not be aware of when they decide to abort. There might be a sense of relief at first, however, a few months, years, or decades later, they may experience an emotional and or spiritual crisis. This devotional was inspired by the healing I received from the shame, regret, and hopelessness that surfaced over 25 years after my abortion. It was written for women who have been hiding their secret to assure them that they are not alone in their suffering. The light of hope is within the darkness. God is merciful and blesses each one of us with his boundless compassion and forgiveness. This is available in both ebook and paperback, and the ebook is a Kindle Unlimited deal. So if you are a Kindle Unlimited customer, you can get this for free. If you are not, it is a 99-cent download. The paperback is $9.99, I believe. And currently, in Women's Inspirational, this is a bestseller. It's number 50 in Women's Inspirational and 100 in prayer books. So congratulations to Patty. And we wish her continued success with Redeemed. And we hope that folks enjoy it. Let me just click on these others. She has a number of other devotionals. The Mended Heart, Rosary Meditations on Forgiveness, Embrace the Morning, Rosary Meditations to Calm the Storm. I'm going to our Amazon author page right now. She is part of, Patty is a multi-genre author. She's part of the San Francisco Wedding Planner series, which is an inspired romance. It has a lot of humor in it. Let's see. Behind the Smile, Overcoming Depression Through Scripture and Prayer. That is also Kindle Unlimited. And Journey to Sunset, Rosary Meditations for Caregivers. If you want to get all of all this plus more of what Patty has, Moments with God is a paperback that has all this. The ebook is $2.99. She also has God Still Loves Me, A Journey from the Dark Abyss of Sin to God's Mercy. And she is the author of the Grave Obsession series, which is a crime series. Volume 1 in the series is Kindle Unlimited. So Grave Obsessions, Volume 1, Chiseled Heart. So, let's see. Okay. Come up in a little bit. I want to get as far ahead as I can before Tony gets on with us so that we can squeeze as much in as possible here. Okay, coming up in a little bit is going to be Sue's blog post. And she wrote this, this blog post. A lot of people were requesting that she share the they wanted her to share the blog post as it was very well received at a conference she was at. She won some awards at a conference recently. And it's called Let's Be Brave Together. A few weeks ago, I gave a speech at the North American Council on Adoptable Children's Annual Conference. I had several requests for copies of the speech, so I decided to post it here as a blog post. This is longer than my usual blog, but I hope you enjoy it. In order to view this, you can go to Sue's website, Sue Badeau, that's SueBadeau.com. And at the top of her website here, she has many different tabs. You can just click on blog. It's the first one here. You can also find out where Sue will be speaking. And I'll see where she's going to be soon. So not in the right places. All right, let's go back to the blog. Media and events. Okay. Let's go to media events. See a lot of pictures of Sue and her husband. There's a couple videos. And down the bottom, here we go. She was just recently at Becoming Trauma Informed. That was at the Mid-Atlantic Youth Services. September 10th. Another event that just came by, Preventing Suicide and Crisis Intervention with Youth. That was also in Philly. And the other one that had just passed was a keynote workshops, Virginia Association of Licensed Child Placing Agencies. Now, one that Sue's at right now, a Family for a Lifetime, Permanency and Leadership Training, Alaska Family Services. She's in Anchorage, Alaska. It's pretty cool. Coming up September 19th and 21st, Angels in Adoption Team Leader and Advocacy Fair. That's in Washington, D.C. To finish out the month, she has a host of events here. Mind, Body, Spirit, Healing from Trauma, the annual conference, St. Louis, Missouri. Family Leadership Institute, Justice for Families. Building a Trauma-Informed Community, that's in Richmond, Virginia. That's on the 28th and on the 30th. Another one in Richmond, Permanency Values, Conversations with Judges. Then in October, she hits California. She's going to be at Engaging Families NCCD Conference on Youth and Families. On October 12th, a Family for a Lifetime, Permanency in Adolescence. And then she's in Louisiana in October 24th and 25th, Together We Can Conference in Lafayette, Louisiana. And as we get near the end of the month, in October, she is at the Judicial Summit, October 26th and 27th in Clear Point, Alabama, and Reducing Racial and Ethnic Disparities at Georgetown University at the end of October. So it's a pretty hefty schedule for Sue. Just go to her website, SueBadeau.com, B-A-D-E-A-U. Click on the various tabs that she has, and see what she has to offer. Get involved in her ministry. And don't forget about her different books, Building Bridges of Hope, which has been incredibly well received, and some of the other titles that she has. Okay, coming up in a little bit, we're going to be talking about Joy Ross Davis going to Ireland. Peggy Bland Pfeiffer's new story, which is Sweetwater River, Volume 5. Dolores Polk, we'll be talking about her with her covers. Let me see if I can find Joy Ross Davis. And let's see where she's going in Ireland to talk about her books. Right now I'm going to joyrossdavis.com. There you go. Banner flying for Clandall author event. I'm not Irish, so you're going to have to, I have to apologize if I'm butchering the name. Her blog post says, Paris Afton Bonds and I are getting serious about our upcoming travels to Dublin, Ireland for the Clandall author event in Cork Park. We're anticipating the impressive Cork Park, which is headquarters for the Gaelic Athletic Association, a location for traditional Gaelic sports, including football and hurling. An Irish game resembling field hockey played with a shorter stick with a broader oval blade. This national game of Ireland may date back to the second millennium BC. She says, Paris and I will not be playing football or waving hurling sticks for sport. Cork Park has a wonderful event program that has received many honors and one of the best facilities for events such as the Cladall Author Event. I hope you enjoy some of the footage and images shown on the Cork Park website. You can click on this and go there. Sounds like a lot of fun. I hope Joy enjoys herself and has a great time. Okay. Next up, I want to go to Peggy Bellin Pfeiffer. I want to go on Amazon right now. Pop in Peggy Bland, B-L-A-N-N. Her last name, Pfeiffer, P-H-I-F-E-R. Volume 5 is Depth. There are five stories in her series as far as Sweetwater River. And let's see what Volume 5 brings us. Now, all the volumes in the series are Kindle Unlimited deals. So if you are a Kindle Unlimited customer, they are free. If not, the short stories are 99 cents. So here we are. Sweetwater River, Volume 5, Depth by Peggy Bland Pfeiffer. As Mike and Rosine Carson enter their second year of marriage, Rosine applies to the Sweetland City Parking Commission for a building permit to begin construction on a much-needed expansion of Gentry's Family Restaurant. But things don't go quite as expected when the commission delays their decision. Without the building permit, Rosine's small business loan would not be approved. At least Rosine could look forward to their four adopted girls return home from college to begin their spring break vacation. That's not to be either. Rosine faces more disappointment when she learns that their two oldest girls have other plans and will not be spending the next 10 days at their forever home along the banks of the Sweetwater River in Sweetland, Arkansas. Was her brand new family breaking up too soon? That's a very interesting series. Peggy Bland Pfeiffer's got a lot of heart and very nice, very good author, very nice reading. I strongly suggest it to anybody. Let's see what we got. Gonna go to Flora Regatta. Ann Baxter Campbell was nice enough to review Flora's the last novel, which is Love's Sweetest Revenge. Now, spelling Flora's name, it's F-L-O-R-A. Capital, her last name is capital R-E-I-G-A-D-A. Flora's novel is a Kindle Unlimited deal. Otherwise, it's $2.99 if you're not a Kindle Unlimited customer. Clicking on a synopsis here. Here we are. Love's Sweetest Revenge by Flora Regatta. We never know when a minor change in our daily routine will alter the course of our lives. 30-something Liz Bertelli had other things on her mind that fateful day. She ventured from her usual walking path into New York's lush forest. Her husband had left for a plaything in her 20s, and it had been far too long since the award-winning artist had picked up a paintbrush. Liz doesn't see the mother bear with the cubs until it's too late. When the bear charges, she runs in blind panic, falling and striking her head against an old stone wall, knocking herself unconscious, bruised but relieved to awaken in this world with the bear gone. Liz spots something glittering in the wall. She tugs at it, releasing an old silver locket and the saga of forbidden love it contains. Uncovering the locket's secrets takes Liz and best friend Rosa Ramirez, a young widow, to a castle, the Castillo de San Marcos, in the romantic city of St. Augustine, Florida. More clues bring the friends to handsome Latino brothers Carlos and Jack Martin. Sparks fly between Liz and Carlos, who has worked for the president, flown aboard Air Force One. Jack, a rugged army hero, wars into Rose's life on a gleaming Harley-Davidson motorcycle. But can Liz, embittered by her husband's betrayal, and Rosa, grieving her husband's untimely passing, respond to their overtures? Answers come on a snowy Christmas day when an arduous trek through the rigid forest leads to another surprise. Very interesting novel. Flora is a ton of fun. We've had the good fortune of having her here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Let's see what some of the reviews have to say. Five-star review on Amazon. I was immediately drawn in by the characters. Another one. What a pleasant, fun, heartwarming story with a little mystery and great atmosphere. Loved reading this book about life, love, and the pursuit of happiness. That was a five-star review by Time Traveler here on Amazon. Another five-star review. Page Turner. I was steered to this book by a friend. From the first page, I immediately was hooked. The further into the book I got, the more I couldn't put it down until I read the entire thing. Best book I've read in a long time. Another five-star review by Nancy. I couldn't put this book down. The author has done a remarkable job with the storyline, and the characters are so real that I found myself looking at them as real people. Very nice testimonials by folks for Flora's reading. Love and Obsession will be featured September 29th during our next Thursday night party that will be simulcasting here for Helping the Press on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network. Right now we're waiting for Tony Helling to come in on the show. You sure? Is Tony here now? Hold on a second.
Hello.
Hi, is this Tony?
Yeah, this is he,
Tony?
Joe. I'm having some problems. Yeah, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, I can. Welcome to the show, Tony. Thanks for
Good.
Calling in.
Thanks, Joe.
Everybody?
Yeah, I was just
no problem.
Pressing all the buttons here, but yeah, okay. Everything going okay that you're in?
Everybody, this is... Yeah, everything's fine, Tony.
Good.
Everybody, this is Tony Hill. He is the author of the Voice of Ada Stamen series. It is... It has many different genres, I guess, that you could say that this the Voice of Ada Stamen crosses. It's a fantasy, Christian fantasy, biblical fantasy, Christian suspense, Christian historical, Christian thriller, Christian action adventure, and it's also inspirational romance. How did you go about cramming all that into this, Tony? Was that quite an undertaking?
Well, it took me 15 years to get it at least to a first draft, Joe. So I wasn't very conscious of, going through all those genres together like a sort of a bull of action system. I was trying to put down something that would honor God and yet on the surface would be what I would call in my language a kind of a rollicking story, whether it would be action, whether it be some humor, whether it would be guys sitting around a campfire and shooting the breeze, and being a little philosophical, so I tried to in one sense to sort of combine scenes where there's a lot of reflection, and then other scenes where there's just action. That was one thing was in my mind, and I wanted to start. I probably hate to say this, but the Bond movies where they always kind of start with Sean Connery or whoever, kind of in this fix, and immediately catches your attention. So I wanted to start the series with a scene that would sort of grab the imagination of folks and sort of draw them into the culture of this story. So yeah,
you have some of this. It seems like you have created your own language to a degree, especially with some of the names and things like that. Did you have to keep a glossary for yourself as you went along, or was this something that just kind of came to you as you were writing?
Well, it sort of came to me that I wanted to one way of getting folks into the meat of the story was to use terms in a perhaps slightly different way than they're used in English, and have a sort of linguistic thing going on. I think you know, Tolkien does the same sort of thing, you know, with Elvish and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't want to copy that, obviously, but I wanted to try and have at least a couple of languages. And you know, there's a dwarf in the book who speaks this strange language that very few others can fathom, and I have him as a sort of a, you know, he's a sort of like a I suppose a tonto figure, you know. I hope I'm not being politically incorrect, but a sort of a figure that would be a native type person and yet interacting with one of the heroes of the story. The names kind of came to me from my background, you know, old names that I picked up from my Scottish childhood, and adapted them a little, and also modeling it on the sort of Semitic background of the chosen people. So I've said before, the book is an unashamed, really, and I suppose I break all the rules there, because according to Tolkien, to do that in a way, whatever. So I'm really into linguistics, so it was something that can...
Yeah, that's pretty cool. What?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. You do have humor in it. It seems to have your dialogue is very rich. When you were crafting this, did you aim to have a certain amount of dialogue along with the description? Did you find that the dialogue drove the story more as the characters became more and more lifelike as each page went on?
Well, I think dialogue is really a way you tell the story, isn't it? You know, the sort of stock answer, show, don't tell, you know. And so by having a lot of reported speech, if you like, you know, a dialogue in the story, it gives you insights into their characters and conflict too, that it's sometimes resolved but not always. And there's a sort of a thing going on between Owain and his friend Vanis, you know, and it's kind of it's kind of reflections of you know, Ben-Hur and what's his name, Missala, you know, in the background, you know, a conflict that actually two friends are sort of part company, you know, and I think that happens in life, you know. And I wanted Joe to make it, even though it was a fantasy, I wanted to have some reality in it, you know, that some things happen in life that we can't explain, and injustice and the apparent silence at times, you know, in the midst of, you know, the problem of evil. So I guess I'm waxing philosophical, but you know, I wanted to have something like that in it too, and also people that didn't believe in this God, you know, the Yiddish more of the Mattaponi people, the guys that didn't believe in him, yet somehow they their lives are traced out under his guidance, you know. So I wanted to, I think it was C.S. Lewis, Joy said he wanted to write books that he would enjoy reading. So I guess I kind of write with my guts, I suppose, pardon me, you know, what would I like to sort of see in a book? And I suppose that's what came in black and white, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was a question I was going to have about that. When you, as you were enjoying writing this and things were moving along,
yeah.
You talked about some of the inspirational elements to it. I didn't read your bio on air, but you are a pastor, have been a pastor.
Yes.
So when
yes.
it comes to all this is part and parcel of who you are, and you were just passing it through into your novel. And so if do you feel that if that wasn't part of who you were, you would have incorporated it anyway?
Do you mean in a sense of am I writing as a pastor or am I writing?
Right. I mean, it seems not that it's in a heavy-handed way, but the manner in which you use the allegories and metaphors, the symmetry, do you feel you could have done it as well had you not had the training of being a pastor?
I don't know. You know, because I suppose, you know, one of the things that trains you as a pastor is that people, I think of pastors living, you know, the stock answer, you know, they only work on Sundays, you know, and I said to a lot of people, having had a background also as a lawyer, that there's more conflict in the Christian church right across the board than there is in the law courts of our two different countries, you know, the States and Canada, you know. So I've at least had an experience in both. And so, first of all, writing about conflict as being real, it is real. Sometimes among, you know, close friends and even in people that profess to believe in Jesus, you know, you find conflict in the church and sometimes it's not resolved. So when I'm writing as a pastor, I suppose it's I've seen a fair bit of reality, from turning up at a house where some child has, you know, taken their own life and having to say something inspirational to a grieving family, or being a little baby who's barely 2-3 months old and just dying, you know, trying to find meaning in that and help the parents, etc. So I suppose in a sense, Joe, pastoring, my life as a pastor, as there's been a good side to it, but also a seamy side to it, in the sense where you're you know, right up against the cold hard reality of life and death, you know. So I suppose that comes out in the story a little, but I remember, and I think I referred to this in one of my blogs, you know, when I went through a crisis at one point when I felt I needed to leave ministry for a while. And I remember I was talking with this lawyer, this lady lawyer, who was an extremely bright lady, and she couldn't understand why I was sort of hanging on to this faith in Jesus, you know. And I just said at one point, why don't you just ditch it, you know? And I said, well, I can't do that, you know. That's my lifeline, you know. So we never quite agreed on faith. But I found that being a pastor and walking with people, sojourning with people, trying to listen to their hearts' cries and help me, I suppose, in writing a book about folks in another world. Yeah, I would say yes to it. Sorry, it's a long-winded answer. I tend to be a little long-winded, but there you go, Joe.
No, I think that's pretty good. Everybody, you're listening to the Inspirational Talk Radio Network, and this is Tony Hilling, author of The Voice of Ada Stamen. He has a number of blog posts up on the Helping Hands Press blog, which you can go to at any time. If you're on Facebook and you're on the Helping Hands Press Facebook page, just press on the link right there for my Helping Hands Press.blogspot.com, and you can read any of Tony's blog posts because they are rather exceptional. He'll have a new one up over the weekend, and we'll be up on Facebook and Twitter for everyone to read. Now, as you talked about a number of things right there, Tony. How you bring your faith in everyday life and how folks kind of at times challenge you. How do you handle that? Is that something that gets your dander up, or do you just kind of handle it in stride?
Well, I tend to be a wee bit feisty, you know, Joe. So I have to watch myself, you know. I probably got a short fuse, you know, and I think most Celts come by it honestly, you know, and so you try and I try and direct it into the action of writing. It helps me to play some of it out, and again that issue of conflict between characters and being able to express that in the dialogue and in a realistic way, you know, I just find that always a challenge, you know, and to allow that to happen, and yet not to be too heavy-handed. I think you mentioned that earlier on, that in the sense that, you know, when we're writing, when I'm writing something, I feel at some point the activity takes over, and it's almost like it has a life of its own itself. So you sort of let it develop without being too, you know, with mauling it. You know what I mean? But I think because I am of a feisty nature, I probably am more comfortable with dialogue and conflict and not necessarily resolving it, as I said. Yeah.
So you try not to bring the thunder too hard on them, huh?
No, I try not to. I don't want to, you know, as I say, skew it. You know, and I think some writers, I've seen even some good writers, their books become ideology. You know what I mean? They've put their hands on the writing so much that it becomes like Mein Kampf, you know, Hitler's kind of stuff. And I believe when you write, even when an artist paints and creates something, it's like one of the ways that we are created in the image and likeness of God, that we want to create somehow, you know. And but as we do it, I think the creation, the little part of creation that we are doing, develops a life of its own. And you don't want to just, get too, handy with it. It's like, I suppose in one sense I have, one image I have is that one of my sisters was trying to tell me to make some scones. And she said to me, don't handle it too much, you know, because that way you'll kind of throttle the scones and it'll taste like rocks, you know what I mean? So it's kind of an image of what I'm trying to say, Joel. But just sometimes... right from the heart, even though with a plan, and allow the spirit to take over, and then edit very sharply afterwards. So that's sort of the way that I do it.
Pretty cool. How about I'll shift gears a little bit. The Voice of It is famous series. Recently, you just released Volume 7, The Council of 12. What is so important about the Council of 12?
Well, the Council of 12
says here, the last part of your synopsis that there are collaborators and conspirators are at the heart of the 12. And
yeah.
I guess Master Banyan must tread carefully. Tell us about the Council of 12 and what goes on here.
Well, the Council of 12, again, I mean, 12 is a significant number for us across Christianity, and which was taken from the Jewish people. But the Council of 12 introduces a key character. He's the character who will mentor Owain, the hero of the story. I call him the hero, but I always put it in, because I have to warn you, there's a twist coming up at the end of the story, and I won't tell you what the twist is. But the Council of the Twelve really introduces Owain, his his way up back among his people that he's been exiled from since his childhood, his babyhood, his infancy. He was brought up as a member of the ruling race, the Davarenzi, and just like Moses, Moses in another world. And this is now, he's coming back to his people. Some of them don't trust him. They see him as a spy. They see him as still one of the conquering race, you know. So what happens is the senior elder of the council of 12 introduces him, and I'll just tell you that, introduces him to the council. This kind of there's a bit of a conflict developing in their midst, which tells a story of past issues they've had within themselves, and again the clear sign of betrayal in them is not only Davinci trying to destroy them, but at the heart of their governing council are collaborators who are working. Volume 7 introduces that, and how O.N. as the new guy on the block, as it were, learned the truth about his own people.
That's pretty cool.
I hope I didn't tell too much, Joe. I want them to read it.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a lot of a lot going on in the series, and I would think there's a little bit for everybody there. What do you do to relax as you go about life? What do you do for fun?
I suppose I should answer that. Not much right now, Joe, because I love to fish. You know, Canada's a great country to fish. I haven't done any in a while because I think I was telling you in a past email there, I got new employment with Prison Fellowship, you know, Chuck Colson's ministry, and there's Prison Fellowship Canada, and I've sort of thrown in and jumped into that with both feet, and I've got incredibly busy. So I'm trying to sort of pace myself so that I have time to, you know, do my writing and time to relax. And I haven't done much relaxing lately. But when I do relax, I like to read. I like to watch sometimes whodunits on TV, you know, particularly some of the old UK ones. But one that I like recently has been the parts of this Longmire, you know, Robert Taylor. I quite enjoy that. And there's a new one out called Shetland, which is a whodunit taking place in the Shetland Islands off the coast of Scotland. So sometimes I'll do that. I try to swim, but I must say the last month or so since I came back from the UK, I've kind of fallen back in my swimming. So I'm trying to get back into that and keep active. My family and I went back to Scotland and Ireland for 2 weeks there back in August, early August, and had a wonderful time there. But I don't know if that answers your question. The stuff that I like to do, but I need to get back into them, you know. And I used to be an old soccer player and loved to get physically active when I was younger. Lately, just the swimming. I did a little biking, and I'm sort of thinking about that. But where I live right now, it's a fairly small town by U.S. standards, 20,000 odd people, but there's only two roads in it, and there's usually traffic.
Pretty neat. How far in the Longmire series did you get?
I'm on the second season, so I'm fairly early in it, And I kind of like Robert Taylor, and he's sort of a straight-laced, I suppose, traditional lawman in a modern world. And he's, I mean, some parts of it gets a little seedy, so I'll fast forward that part. But I quite enjoy the whodunit thing, you know, and I have this desire to do some writing along those lines, you know. Do a whodunit series, but I haven't quite got the first 10,000 words down yet. Bugging me, I'll get at it, you know, one of these days. Yeah, I like long.
Yeah, I've watched the whole thing. I'm trying to find out when the new season starts. I've seen them all. I love it.
You've seen them all. Eh? Well, I just noticed there's only four seasons. And there was another one I was watching, and I can't remember it. And I think it's one of the old UK ones, like Endeavour, it was called. And there was one of part of the Morse series I quite enjoyed. But it's set in Oxford, you know, C.S. Lewis's city. And quite enjoyed that too. But I really find that relaxing watching some of those, trying to work out who the murderer is, or the marauder, or whatever. Yeah.
Nice. Well, is there anything you want to add today? Something that we haven't possibly asked you today that you would like to add before we call it an evening here on the Inspirational Talk Radio Network?
Maybe just the issues of further writing. I think I hinted at something there. I have another series that I've got out there called The Caves of the Kananaskis that I started, and I've done about two stories in it, and I want to continue with that. I have a play out there that is a kind of an Easter play called Imwas. And those are still the Emmaus is done, Imwas is done, but I have to finish the Caves of the Kananaskis. And I'm really interested, Joe, in Native American culture, and there's a Christ figure in the Caves of the Kananaskis that there is a native person, and I just felt moved to do that, and so I have to put a push on that and get that going. That's for the future, and I'm still writing songs. I have a couple of songs I need fired down and see if you wanted to listen to them. That too. So I appreciate the time on the radio, and I'm very blessed. I have a wonderful family and good friends here in Western Canada, and I'm really enjoying my work, even though it's quite busy. We're really in the front line of trying to help men that have been broken by crime and criminal issues, and trying to help them be restored. Prison fellowships really into restorative justice, but I truly appreciate the time spent just this evening, even Joe, and your gracious questions. And I want to say that I just bless all the writers in our community. It's wonderful to have a community of people. We don't quite feel so alone in all of this, but there's other people there I'm on Twitter a lot, so it's really, I like to tweet the other stuff and see folks excited about their work too. Yeah.
Oh, thank you very much for being on today. It's been a true pleasure. If anyone, this is Tony Hilling, the author of the Voice of Ada Stamen series. Look for Tony on Amazon. Just put in Tony Hilling in the search bar. You'll find a Voice of Ada Stamen. The entire series is an Amazon Kindle Unlimited deal. You'll be able, if you're an Amazon Kindle Unlimited customer, get them for free. Otherwise, your 99-cent downloads. Tony, thanks so much for being on today. We really appreciate
it. You're welcome.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much. God bless.
All right, everybody. I want to thank everybody for listening in as we're simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday night party. It's still going on for another 10 minutes on Facebook and Twitter. If you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter right now, please join in the conversation and enjoy the authors and the community that Helping Hands Press has. They're on Facebook because they really love talking to everybody. We'll see you again here simulcasting Helping Hands Press Thursday night party on September 29th. And there's going to be a lot of very interesting things on there, and our guest will be Ann Baxter Campbell. So I hope everybody has an awesome evening. Thank you for joining in and listening, and for listening on the archives. Thank you for trying to find a new author to you. I hope you have a great evening and an excellent weekend. Bye, everybody.